God, for the presence of your Spirit in this place, who has come to magnify Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, because you inhabit the praises of your people. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, because as the word goes forth, I thank you, Lord, because your word, you have sent your word and you have healed them and delivered them from destruction. But I thank you, Lord, because we esteem your word high in this place. And we say, Father, Jesus Christ is magnified and revealed in every heart today in a fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Someone said, in Lagos, someone said he has been listening to the messages in the last, in the last 6 to 8 weeks, and said the utterance level has increased. I said, I know the reason why. It's because the singers, I'm serious. He says that when the people began to sing, that the priest could not stand up to minister. It is the singers and the worshippers that have opened the way, you know, for that degree of utterance. So, thank you very much. Amen. Amen. Because worship sets the pace for the word. You know. Amen. So we'll go on today. We've been talking about... If you haven't listened to the messages for the financial seminar, please get it. Someone called me from Lagos. Someone that didn't go to this church. Someone that... Just a random friend. He said, please, can you send me those tapes? Send me the message. He saw it on Facebook. He said, send me. I'm not even close to this person. So he listened to it and he said, wow, this is serious. Like, this message has transformed my life. This is someone that doesn't go to church, to our church, he goes somewhere else. So please, let's not take for granted the things that are done. Go back and get those messages. Listen to those messages over and over again. You know, and it will cause you to increase. You can see I brought my Dick's Bible, so it's serious today. No claiming of this one. Let's go to the book of Joshua chapter 6. The reason I brought it is not because I wanted to show that I have a big Bible, but there's something I wanted to show there. Joshua chapter 6. You see, what God is saying here is that every single person has what it takes on the inside of him to get to the next level for his life. Every single person has what it takes to get into his destiny. Joshua chapter 6. Sorry. So you have what it takes right now. So I want you to be confident of that fact, that when God made you a new creature, he put every single thing you require to get to your destiny. Let me just get out that scripture, but I think I've missed where it is. So we're talking a bit about that today, and we'll see where the Lord is taking. Sorry, Judges chapter 6, anyway. Judges chapter 6. So you don't need anything extra, as it were, to get to the place God is going to take you. Judges chapter 6. And we show it from the scriptures. It says from verse 11. It says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed with wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. See, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? Some people might be saying that today. If the Lord is with me, why are these problems surrounding me? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, I've heard people talk about testimonies that people are giving. Men of God have testified of how, even my fellow brothers have testified of how God has helped them in different places. Did not the Lord God bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord had forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So he's saying, go, listen to that. Go, it isn't any other, he said, go in this thy might. So I want to explain to you guys that you have all it takes to get to the next level for your life. Go in this thy might. You see, is that feeling that, you see, he that has, more shall be given. And he that does not have, even that which he has, it shall be taken away. It means that it is the mentality that you think you don't have anything. That's what's causing the problem. Know that you have what it takes to get to the next level. Look at what the Lord said, thou mighty man of valor. But we'll see today how to actually come to that consciousness of actually knowing that we have this thing. Say, go in this thy mind. This is go and get any mind from anywhere. Say, as you are like this, go to the next level. You don't need any external paraphernalia. Nothing special. As you are, where you are staying, where you are seated now, you have what it takes by God to get to the next level for your life. We're going to talk about the origin of man. We'll talk briefly about the origin of man. Let's go to First Peter chapter 1, verse 9. It says there, being born again, 1 Peter 1, 9. I know we're still talking about the seed experience, but we're coming from a different perspective today. 1 Peter 1, 9. No, sorry. Yes, 1 Peter 1, 9. Let's go there. We heard last week, if you haven't heard that message, please get it. It says the end of faith is the salvation of your soul. The end of faith is the salvation of your soul. We explained further what that actually means in practice. What does it mean for the soul to actually be saved? He said the end of faith is the salvation of your soul. If you flip down a bit, 1 Peter, go down to verse 24 or 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It says, you are born again of an incorruptible seed by something called the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. It says, the grass withers and the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. First John, John chapter 1 verse 13. I just want to lay foundation, then I'll go into the thing. It says, you are born of incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides. So John chapter 1 verse 13. We're going to trace the origin and we'll see how these things work. John chapter 1 verse 13. It says, from 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Another translation, the NIV says, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision. It's not your parents that decided. I want you to begin to see the origin. It's not your parents that decided. That new creature in Christ Jesus. It's a husband's will, but born of God. You are living in the body, fine. But the new creature, the man on the inside, was God's decision to bring you onto the earth for a particular purpose. Your parents were just in God's plan to use as a channel and a vehicle to carry you and produce the body that will house that man on the inside. So begin to see yourself differently. Begin to see yourself like that. I'm a new creature born of the word of God. Don't limit yourself to what you see on the outside. You're seeing me now on the outside. This is not all about me. This is just the periphery of me. there is someone on the inside of me that is greater than he that's in the world. When you begin to think like that, when you see that, you're not just, your parents know you, but they don't know who you really are. Except they go to God and ask him, who is this person in reality? That's why John the Baptist was playing with Jesus Christ. He didn't know who he was. His cousin, they must have been playing together, pushing tire together, playing with toys together, but he didn't know. He said, except him who you see the Spirit of God descending, that is the Son of God. So know that you have an identity which might not be apparent to people. That's why Gideon was confused. He didn't know who he was. He thought he was limited to what the society or the school or his friends had placed on him as a person. There is someone else on the inside of you. I want you to become, when you leave this, I want you to become more conscious of that man on the inside, because your life emanates from him. He says you're not born of the will nor of human decision. Think about that. Or a husband's will. They just created your body. The new man in Christ, who you are now, is completely different, but of God. He's born of God. He has his descent from God. So it means that all the things that are transferred by hereditary, by means of hereditary, you can reverse. If they're not conducive, if they're not nice, if they're not favorable for you, you can reverse everything. If you understand this, and we'll show how to reverse it and how to cause that man to emanate from the inside of you. Because that's the real you. That's the real you. When we say our spirit man is the real me, we're not just chanting things. We are trying to inculcate that image and be sure that we know, that we know, that we know that we are spirit beings. When you begin to think that, they are not afraid of death. You know, death is a transition. This is a transition. There is someone on the inside of you who cannot be stopped. You cannot be stopped. Begin to think that they cannot be stopped. One bill somewhere will be troubling. I mean, it cannot be stopped. That man is not afraid of anything, because he's not limited to this body. Understand that. I want to understand how, what happens at the new birth. A man is born again. He's given his life to Christ. That new man is born. The life of God comes into him and creates a new being, a new person. It says, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature. It says, a new species of being that has never existed before. If any man is in Christ Jesus, I want to follow him. He is a new creature, a new species of being that has never existed before. That is who you are. And it says, all things are passed away in that new man, and all things have become new. But however, those things might still be in the premature forms. When you have a new baby, he has all the qualities of the father, but he's still a baby. I don't understand that. He's still a baby. He needs to grow to a point where he becomes a man. So he's still a baby in Christ. He's born again. And the thing about spiritual things is that it's not like earthly things, in the sense that a baby grows naturally by, okay, eat and all that, it grows naturally. But in the spirit realm, you can be a baby for years if you don't do what it takes to grow. If you don't know the substance that feeds that man, that causes it to grow. People have interacted with the gospel for years and years. They become grandfathers in terms of number of years, but they're still babes. It's not a function of years. It's not a function of how many scriptures you even know in your mind. Because you can interact so much with the scriptures that you know, you can even quote Genesis, Revelation. That's not what it takes. We show practically how that baby begins to grow. That's why you say, this guy, he's been a Christian for a long time. Why is he? It's not like that. I was telling my wife, I said, we have to check this thing. It's not the amount of scripture, but it is the manifest presence of those things in your life that is the proof. That's it. So if it's not manifest, you know that you don't know it. Go back and check. So you might think that we might know so many, we might think that we knowledge, but we're talking of how you incorporate that knowledge into your person to become one. See, this is the depth of Christianity we're going into. This is how things should work. Okay, let's go on. First, I think it's James 1:21. How does this baby begin to grow? James 1:21. Go back to the fundamentals. The presence of miracles and signs, like we heard last week, they are to aid and to prevent people who are the verge of destruction, to help them to come out of that thing and give them time to go through the real process of growth in the body. That the fivefold ministry are there to perfect the saints through the teaching of the word of faith. The miracles and signs are not even primarily not, they're just primarily to help you. A man is by revenge at death's door and he doesn't know receive his healing. God has sent people to the body of Christ. Say, okay, now I will break the power of sickness over you to give you time to go back and incorporate the real teachings of the word of God in your life. We heard it last week. So the fire ministry is there for a purpose, but the real way these people is by the teaching of the word that the saints will now grow up to become like Christ Jesus and practice the truth of God's word. So let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. No, sorry, James chapter 1 verse 21. So it's a babe. What does he do? How does he grow? James. Yes. He says, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Another scripture somewhere says, as newborn babes, as babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So it's the word of God, and it's not just a mental knowledge of the word that causes that growth, which is important, but there's a process you have to take it through to be able to grow. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So it is by the word of God that the child begins to grow and grows from strength to strength. Because let me tell you something. You are born of the word. You've seen it there. If a fish comes out of water, it dies. It dies. It cannot survive outside water. So your spirit man cannot survive outside the word. You know, you can become so malnourished that it's choking. That's what he feeds on, the word of God. That is what he eats, the word of God. He eats on that thing. The same way you eat natural food for your body, the spirit man feeds on the word of God. That's why it's the word of God that brings salvation to the soul. The spirit man cannot function outside the word. He's limited. He becomes dry, he becomes malnourished when there's no word. And how is not just a mental accumulation of the scripture. That's what I want to emphasize. The word of God, the spirit man, will show it clearly how he functions by that word. So the spirit man needs the word to function. He cannot function outside it. He cannot function. He becomes malnourished. He won't be able to reach his full potential. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. 1 John 2, 12. You saw that scripture. Which, go back to that scripture. That's the other one. So that's it. That's the scripture I was quoting earlier. That's fine. Yes. 1 Peter 2, 2. It says, newborn babes. So the newborn babes grows by the sincere milk of the word. So it's the word that causes that growth. It is not miracles are good. Miracles do not cause growth. You understand what I'm saying? Mental accumulation of scripture, which is important, will not, is a part of the process, but there's something you have to do that will cause that growth. It's very important. If not, people will remain babes forever. Paul said, I write unto you, Corinthians, you are still carnal. When you ought to be teachers, yet you are babes. Because there's something missing. There's something, a process that is missing. 1 John 2:12. It says there, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. I mean, you're still in the realm where you are struggling with certain things, which we all go through. And I say, I write unto you, young men. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. He said, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The reason why they were strong was because the word of God was abiding in them. And they have overcome the wicked one. How did they overcome the wicked one? Go to the next verse. Because the word of God was abiding in them. That is the reason why they overcame the wicked one. The word of God that created the new creature needs to abide in the new creature for it to be strong and overcome the wicked one. That's what Jesus, that's how Jesus lived. He said the child grew up and waxed strong in spirit. That's it. There was no magic or formula anywhere. It was not because he was the Son of God. He had to take those scriptures and internalize them to get that strength. Yes, there's no other choice. There's no other way to do it. That is, there's no other way. He had to take those scriptures when he came out and said, "The Spirit of God is upon me." Yes, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." How did he come to that conclusion that today there was no manifestation on the outside? He had done something with those scriptures until the point where he knew in himself that, look, today I've received the salvation of my soul regarding this word. It is fulfilled in your ears today. So God is saying that there's too much running around. We have to settle down with the core matter, which is the word. And we'll teach today how to do that. Hebrews 5:13. We'll go to the scriptures. It's a teaching. Hebrews 5:13. So it's the word that causes that thing to happen. There's no other thing we have. Nothing anywhere else. We can run around from place to place. See, everyone that used milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness and is a babe. Go to, you know, we talked about babes requiring the milk of the word. Go to 5:14. 5:14. He said, "But strong meat belongs to them who are full age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil." That's strong meat. He said, belongs to them who by reason of use have meditated on the word, have used the word, have lifted weights. See, you cannot just go to the gym and see. Let me tell you cannot just go and carry, you know, those weights. You can see how to go and carry the heavy one that's maybe 100 kilos. You know, you will crumble. So, you start with 10 kilos lifting. The same way physical exercise, you are profiting. We show how to profit spiritually. How do you do it? You take the word of God, we show it here. You begin to internalize that word. I will show what that means. Then when the challenges come, you practice the word of God on the challenges. That's how you build it. That's how you do it. This first challenge comes, you practice it. Second challenge comes, you practice it. The muscle is getting bigger. That's how you get strong. There's no other way you get strong. How do you get strong? How does a man become so big, muscle-wise? He goes to the gym, he lifts weight. He gets bigger, he gets stronger, he lifts a higher one. But the problem is that some people haven't lifted 10. They want to go and carry the big one. And they crumble. And they say the word is not working. The word always works. The word is sure. The word is tried. The word is tested. It always works. It is perfect. Because the word of God is tried 7 times. It never fails. Because God never fails. And God is the word. So if it fails, it means that we have not practiced. So we're going back to the practice of the word, which is what it's all about. So we've seen that the new creature was born of the word, and he cannot survive outside the word of God. See, people, there's so much technology, which is important, but let it not substitute that word. We can get carried away by the technology, by the happenings, by the things around, but the word of God is what will produce things that will last forever. That's the only thing that we see. He said the grass will wither and the flower, the glory of man will fade away. But the only thing that will last forever is the word of God. So what do we do now? Because God took hold of the word to create the earth. So what do we do now? We go back to our lives and begin to examine critically what are the products of the word. And if peradventure, our business, our family is not standing on the word of God, let us go and rearrange it and get the word and begin to internalize it in that area. Because the world is entering into perilous times. So the last days perilous times shall come because men shall be lovers of themselves. And this is the only thing that will last forever. Wealth can be wiped away in one day. So you have to have the source to reproduce that thing that caused that world to come. That's what we're talking about. So the word of God lasts forever. And this is going to be very interesting. We'll show you from the scriptures how to internalize this thing. I'll be practical here. Let's go to the book of Psalm 46. Let's see. Oh, no, I don't want Psalm 46. I want Isaiah chapter 45, sorry, verse 8. Isaiah 45, 8. You know, we've been talking about the seed experience, and we're talking about all the other principles. Now, we came to the rain. The rain, I'll quote some scriptures. You can go back and read it. The rain is, it says, the word of God. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 55, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth as the rain comes down from heaven. We agree, Abby? The rain is the word. Okay. And the idea of God is that the Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, in peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's Romans, right? Righteousness, Romans 14:17, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want you to follow me. The kingdom of God, because I want to show you how to get the kingdom of God into your life in everything. It says it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? It now says that the word of God is what created you as a person. And this word is what the is this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's what we saw in Peter, right? So follow me. I pray you get this message later. The word is the gospel that was preached unto you. He now says in Romans chapter 1, he says the kingdom, he says this is the gospel of God. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus, but it is the power of God unto salvation. For in the gospel something is revealed called the righteousness of God. I want you to understand this. Follow me. We know the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In the gospel, something called the righteousness of God is revealed. And what is righteousness? I saw a beautiful definition of righteousness that it says righteousness is God's correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. It says correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. So what we are saying basically is that what the word of God is coming to give to you is God's way, God's righteousness is revealed in the word. It's God's way of thinking, feeling, and acting. Because the way you think is the way you feel. For example, if you say this fellow, there's one fellow that steals cars, and the fellow is coming to visit you. You know, you have that knowledge, so you're thinking, this guy is going to steal my car. It's sort of, you start feeling something, this guy. Yeah, maybe you feel a bit of resentment or say, this guy, my cars, let me go hide my keys. This is just a weird example. And that will, see, that feeling of it will make you act in a particular way. You hide your keys. So what he's saying that in every situation, what this gospel is about, the righteousness that is revealed is God's way of thinking, which will produce his way of feeling, and which will produce the actions he takes in any situation in your life. So what the gospel is come to show you, and is always, because God's way is perfect. God's way always works. God's way always produces results. Do you know why? Because he's a God of love. And love never fails. So it always produces results. So what he's saying is that any situation of life, what I'm preaching to you, what you have to embrace, is God's way of thinking, which will produce his way of feeling, and will produce some actions. That's all. That's the simplicity of the gospel. So what we're going to do is to take certain areas of our lives and just find out what God's way of thinking is regarding that thing. And that's what the gospel is about. So we're going to preach to you basically what God thinks about that situation, which will produce the way he feels, which will produce the way he acts. So you will now inculcate that way of thinking into your mind. That's the work of Christianity. Because once you get God's thoughts, the way he thinks, into your life, it will produce the way he feels, and it will produce God-given actions. It's God's thoughts. Basically, the word of God is God's thoughts. The way he thinks about everything. The way he thinks about marriage, the way he thinks about career, the way he thinks about life, the way he thinks about everything. He has encased his thoughts into what we call the Bible. Isaiah 55. The gospel is the simplicity in the gospel, though. It's not a complex thing. Isaiah 55. You see, there's a danger in having been a Christian for a long time. You can think you're actually a giant, but you're still a babe. I'm serious. There's something about knowledge that pops up. That's not, I mean, a mental accent and accumulation of scriptures that haven't gone through the process of being incorporated into the person. There's a book called You Need to Win. You have to get that book by Joy Akinwumi. It's coming out on Amazon. No. Is it? No, we're talking about practical stuff. We need to get that book and read it. Because it's one of the most practical teachings I've heard about how to incorporate the Word of God practically now into your daily affairs. You know, don't despise the people that are in this place. So even you, so don't despise yourself. Because there are kings, and kings are here. I showed someone yesterday a website. I showed him books. He said, "Your church?" I said, "Yes, my church." He said, "Hey." I said, "Yes, so that, I don't know that, these are generals, so that's generals who are preaching to." So you guys are serious people. It's not a joke. Okay, let's go on. So get that book. Once it comes, I think it's coming out in a few weeks' time. I will buy a copy and give to everyone. No, I will buy it and give to everyone, honestly. Because it's so important. I read it and I know what it did to me. Please. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. It says, I'll quote some scriptures because there's so much to cover. Say, "Everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine." Say, "Everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come buy and eat." You see, it means that you don't need money as a first starter. All you need is the word. As the starter, even in business. You don't need money. It's the word you need first. Money will come. The word you need first. Because if the word gives you a God idea, it will gather the resources. It says, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfied not." Now, what we're getting into now is how this spirit man actually practically eats. We want to see how, because we want to know how he grows. The same way you eat food, we want to see how this spirit man, how does he eat? How does he really eat? Say, "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness." We said the salvation of your soul is the end of your faith. How do you get there? It's by eating a certain substance that causes that growth. It's like, let me tell you how it works. Let me tell you what it is. You go to God in prayer. Say, "God, Father, I have this challenge in front of me. You've done the seed principle. Show me the seed and all that." So God answers your prayer by opening your eyes to see certain scriptures. I'll give you an example. When I was written by the General Medical Council for a mistake I made, let me tell you the story because God has used the example. Someone came to me and she was desperate, a nurse. Says, "My mother is sick and all that. Please, can you help me write a prescription for her for blood pressure?" So I wrote the prescription. The mother was abroad in sort of Zimbabwe. I wrote on the private prescription sheet, which you can do. But the problem is that you can't prescribe for a patient you don't see. That was a mistake. But in writing that prescription, you have the Spirit of God. There was a check in my heart. But I ignored it. Because the thing about the check of the Spirit of God in you is that you don't have the knowledge. So he put that check system in you that when you are trying to do something, he has seen to the future, he has gone around, he has seen everything, and he has put something in you to give you a check. You might not be able to explain it. So obey the promptings. Especially when you're a person given to meditation on the word, obey the promptings. What does that mean? You know, in my mind, I'm trying to help, but he's giving you a check. Like, don't go to Asia to preach. He's giving you a check in your heart. Obey it. You might not be able to explain it, but don't disobey the promptings. So I wrote it. I'm sowing seed, Abby. I'm a seed expert. So I gave it to the lady. Now follow this story. It's very powerful. You won't believe the operations here. Like after maybe 6 months, maybe a year, I think, I get a call from one of the nurses. I wrote this in my house. I was at home. One of the nurses in the hospital I work, which was about a few meters away, saying, come, I need to speak to you. Dad, did you write a prescription for this girl a year ago or something? I said, yes, I did. And the police, how does prescription connect with police? That the policemen have come to her to seize her passport. They're interrogating her. I said, how the prescription of good will turn to? So he called his number now. So I called the guy. His name is Philip Major. Even the name itself is, he says, the investigator for anti-fraud, anti-corruption, anti-fraud officer in charge of the South Coast of England. Very intimidating. When I heard the name Philip Major, I said, I said, Jesus. No, I'll just follow this story. So, then I called the guy. I said, he was a very nice guy. He was, I heard you wrote a prescription for this lady. I said, I did. He said, can you write a statement to me saying what you did exactly? So I said, Holy Spirit, please show me what to write. I was still have. I said, okay, I wrote a prescription for her. I wrote the drugs I gave for. Holy Spirit said, make it as short as possible. I wrote a prescription for her for this drug and this drug, full stop. Bam. I sent it to him. So I was even saying, this girl is in trouble. She was really distraught. They seized her passport. She said, what is the story? What happened here? What happened? Follow this story. When you have a prompting, the Holy Ghost is leading me this way. I don't know why. The sister of the girl, I wrote this prescription a year ago, was coming to the UK. The sister of the nurse was coming to the UK visiting, and she was carrying false, fake documents. Follow me. And the immigration stopped her at the airport. I said, these are fake documents. What are you coming to do here? He said, I'm coming to collect my mother's prescription. That means prescription a year ago, I don't know, do with me. So that means she felt that if she says that, they will have mercy on her. Say, her mother is sick. So she used that. So which prescription is that? Whose writes prescription? My sister is a nurse. Okay, let's go to meet your sister. That's where they went. So how do you see how when God gives you a check, he has seen the future. Because I wanted to be nice, I disobeyed the promptings. Understand this, very important. So, the help came. So they followed the girl, seized the passport. So, okay, the prescription. Where did you get the prescription for? Because what they want to find out is if you're getting the prescriptions from the NHS. You know, but thank God I wrote it in a private script. So she paid for it, actually. So he said, who wrote the prescription? He said, the doctor that lives by the road wrote the prescription for me. Okay, let's go. That's how I came into the picture. This is something I wrote like 2 years ago. Or 1 year ago, sorry. So they came to, that's how I got into the picture of the thing. Something I didn't know about. I didn't know mother coming to UK. I didn't know anything about it. I just wrote a prescription a year ago and that was it. You know? So follow me. So I started praying for the girl. I said, Lord, help her. Lord, she's in trouble. Help her. I was praying for her. Really, really praying. I was very heavy. I said, this girl is in trouble. Lord, help her. So they now investigated everything. You know, and they found. So I'd forgotten about it sort of in mind. So they found out that she bought the drugs one. You know, so I'll tell you what. So it was going on and on and on and on. So one day I was sitting in my house and a letter came through the post from the General Medical Council. And I picked up the letter and I opened it. I saw fraud investigation report, final report, Philip Major. I opened it. I saw it was reading. reading. All the statements I wrote were there. He said, the doctor, and also at the end, said the nurse has been cleared of all charges, but the doctor, I've investigated further, the doctor has breached the code. They've left the nurse. They've come for me. No, follow this thing. When there's a check, he has breached the code of prescribing. So I recommend hereby that the GMC pursues disciplinary action against the doctor for breaching the code of remote practice. I said, okay. I closed it. My heart raced. I said, okay, is this the end of the career? All the years of medical school? No, my heart was racing. All sorts of things. My heart was racing. So I went upstairs to the room. I took the letter. Ezekiel, that's what he did, Abi. I put it there. I said, Lord, help me. I started praying the Spirit. So I now called there's a defense union. I called and said, wait, don't write anything. Respond in 30 days. He said, don't respond anything. Let us hear what information they have first before you respond. So I left it. So I was praying the Spirit a lot. And I took scriptures. I followed this story because in the story there's power. I took scriptures. I said, God, but I was desperate. Understand, I couldn't focus at work. You know, I was doing my work, but you know when there's this cloud, you're working, but there's this thing is pending. You know, there's this thing there. I was praying a lot, but I was so desperate. I got scripture, like touched off my anointed. My mind was working over time. Do my prophets no harm. I got the scripture, I was confessing it. You know, I was praying and confessing. All I would do is I'll pray in the spirit and confess the scripture. I had not thought of something. My mind was working over time. It's okay, what you can do is I tell the nurse to write a letter. You know, tell her mother to write a letter saying, doctor, you saved my life. Maybe if I show them that letter, that they will have mercy on me. Doctor, you saved my life. Thank you for the prescription you sent to me. You know, my mind was working over time. The arm of flesh. Over time. So I was trying to solve it. I was using the scripture. I was trying to impose it on it. Until one day. It's good to keep on listening to the message. I heard Pastor Kwaju's message. He said something. He said, God, your life is written in the book. The word created you. See, follow the story. The word, whatever situation you are in today, this word created you. And the word of God, all your days are written in the volume of the book. Where you're walking, your location, your family, your children are written. God knew everything that was happening to you. He knew everything. So he decided by the prophetic scriptures to write, inspire men. He saw the future and was prophesying. Those things are Isaiah. It's you. It's not Isaiah. It is you. All you have to do is to ask God, Father, open my eyes to see what the prophets have said regarding me now. Because God is in the now of your life. Now, because if you keep on running around, you won't find that is where the call is. Be rest, he has written about you. Whether he has written it clearly. So I said, Lord, that day I stopped rushing. I said, okay, I sat down now. The thing was too, pressure was too much. I said, okay, I was in my room. I said, Lord, okay, you have written about me in the volume of the book. I surrender. Open my eyes to see your thoughts regarding the situation. Open my eyes. God answered speedily. I began to pray with that change of mindset, not trying to impose what I thought was it. Say, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Come to the word and let God open his thoughts to you, because inside that thought is righteousness. God's way of thinking, God's way of feeling, and God's way of acting. Say, open my eyes, Lord. So pray the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. 45 minutes. You shall not suffer your foot. For my spirit. You shall not suffer your foot to be moved. I said, Where's that scripture? Psalm 126. I went to the Bible. I went there. And I opened it. I said, what scripture is that? You shall not suffer my foot to be moved. I went to look at it from the beginning. I will show you today that everything in your life is in the Bible. You don't have to run around anymore. If you need men, he will send men to you. Psalm 121. He says, I will lift up my eyes up to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens. So if he made, that means he can shift anything. He made the heavens and the earth. He said he will not suffer your foot to, you're telling me now, this was a personal revelation of what was written about my situation from beginning to end. Follow me. I will show you how practical it is. He shall not suffer your foot to move. He said, my foot will not move from my job. That means I will not be fired. He that keepeth Israel will never sleep, nor slumber. See, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Listen. See, the Lord is thy keeper. He was telling me. He says, my keeper, he is the shade upon thy right hand. He said, the right hand used to write the prescription. He's the shade. See, follow. See, it's written. God is exact. How can you be interpreting? The Holy Ghost was just showing me that he's the shade. That hand I used, that God has covered it. I want you to show how practical God is. He's detailed. If we follow his pattern, follow me. He said, the sun shall not smite thee by day nor the moon. He said that, look, the sun is the general medical council. He said, the moon is my hospital I work for. Oh, follow me. He said, the sun shall not smite you by day nor the moon by night. He said, they can't touch you. He now said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He said, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and even forever. He said, from now on. So you go to work and you come back. You're going out and you're coming. They won't touch you. The ideal thing is that they suspend you first, investigate. He said, they won't touch you. He says, and now forevermore. That means as I continue to work in the NHS, nobody can touch me. Scripture forever. I've secured my future. When I made, since I'm going to work at work, I don't fret again, because that word has covered my career. See, that's how it works. When you just release it, say, God, open my eyes. I wouldn't have thought that this scripture, you see NHS there? But when the Holy Ghost begins to take you into the word, the Bible says, turn ye at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit upon you. What does the Spirit call? And I will make known my words unto you. So the supply of the Spirit is to reveal the word. So in prayer, you go to God. Open my eyes. I need a supply of the Spirit. When he comes, he shows you what that thing is that fits that situation. When I took that thing. So that's the first stage. People have received things that explains to them. So it has explained the beginning, the outcome, and the end of everything. So I enter into rest. God said, this is how it is. All you have received now is, for example, if you want to change, let's say you're living in another country like Nigeria, and you want 100,000 naira, and someone gives you, what's the equivalent, maybe 250 pounds? Something like that. So he said, what I've given you now is like 250 pounds. You know that, although you need naira, but you know that you have it. But it hasn't been converted though, but you have it. That's how it is. That's when you receive a word, that's how it is. So you have to convert it to naira. See, you understand this. People are not converting to naira. They have the pounds, which causes you to settle, but you have to convert it to naira through the process of meditation. I like what Sister Joy said. She said, it is my incantation. Mm. Oh, see, understand this thing. You convert that into naira. It's like when you eat food, you buy food from the shelf, you have carbohydrate, you have rice. The rice cannot do anything to you now. You have to you eat it. The body converts it to carbohydrate, simple sugars, before you can use it. That's what you do. People have many scriptures, powerful things God has said about them, but they haven't converted them. The Spirit of God is there to help you convert through the digestive process of the Spirit to usable forms. That's how you incorporate the word. We'll show you now. So that's just a story to help you understand. So what I did with this thing, I'll show you what I did with it. So I want you to begin to live your life like this. Say, God, what's the word for this part? So I'm here now. What is the scripture? What is the word for this particular I am? You cannot live your life outside the word. Because there's no other foundation. So when I saw this, peace just came into my heart. I knew I had the pounds, but I still needed to convert it. But I knew I had the raw material. There's raw material full. Yeah, it's full of raw materials. They will teach you how to convert it in the next few minutes. Exodus chapter 13. I know that word is like the rain, like you said. We've seen that the word of God, this is God's word to me as a person. Like it's like almost like God spoke it to me. That's how you see. I began to cry, to be honest with you. I couldn't believe that. Even the thought of it makes me be teary. That God could be so exact, to love me so much, that I write about my situation. That's how you begin to experience the love of God as a person. That Lord, you love me so much, you went this far to describe in details things that concern me. And so David said, ha, your thoughts towards me. No man can give you this. No, nobody can give you this. Exodus chapter 13. Before we go there, hold your place there. Go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 16. It says there, thy words were found. That's what happened to me here. I found the word. And what did I do there? And I did eat them. That's the spirit man. And thy word became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. See, thy words were found, which is what happened here. Because in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears unto my sayings. I want to show you the process of eating now. Say, let them not depart from your eyes. That's Proverbs chapter 4. Follow me. It says, attend to my words. So you found the word now. Incline your ear to my saying. Let them not depart from before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The way the spirit man eats is through the process of meditation. That's how he eats. That's how he feeds. Same way you eat food. That's how he eats. That's why it says, hearken diligently unto me, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And how do you eat? What does meditation mean? It means to imagine and to mutter. That's why he told Joshua, this book of the Lord, eat. So Jeremiah 15:16 said, thy words were found. You can read when you get home. And I did eat them, and thy words became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That scripture is so powerful. So the end product of that word is to create something called joy and rejoicing. And that is where this thing ends. We'll see it clearly. We can't finish it today, but we'll see it clearly. So that words were found. That's what I found now. So what did I begin to do? I began to eat it. Hold your place there. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3. So this is a practical message which has to be practiced. So you have to set out time from today to eat the word. It's important. I mean, you can't do without it. That's why there's so much knowledge of scriptures. All the scripture you know, begin to eat it. Don't just find it. Begin to eat it. Don't just read the Bible. Begin to eat it. There's a difference. Ezekiel, we'll show you now. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. So what I needed to do with that scripture, I began to eat it. I took that scripture. I began to meditate on it. I'll show you what I did. Ezekiel chapter 3. So all the ones that God has promised you, the mighty things. He says, hearken diligently unto me, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You meditate till you begin to delight in your soul. Without anything on the outside. In your soul. Sitting there in your house. The joy it creates. Ezekiel chapter 3. It says, it's my big Bible I brought. Ezekiel chapter 3. It says, moreover, verse 1, he said unto me, son of man, eat what you have found. Ha, look at what he's saying there. He said, you have found it. But now, eat what you have found. You found the word. That's not enough. Eat what you have found. Eat this roll and go and speak. People are speaking without eating. You have to eat first before you speak. You have to load the gun with bullets before you shoot. The process of meditation is loading the gun with bullets. And the process of confession is shooting. He says, so I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. That's how you get the rain into your life. Say, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give you. He's telling you to do with that word. Then I ate it and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. The end product of the whole thing is to create joy inside you. An understanding that brings the joy is that describes that this thing is like joy unspeakable, full of glory. So you begin to meditate on it. The Lord is the shade upon my right hand. The GMC shall not, you will personalize it. The General Medical Council shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. You're meditating on it. Muttering it to yourself. Meditation means to mutter. So it shall not depart from your mouth. You begin to mutter it to yourself. If it's prosperity, I have dispersed abroad, I have given to the poor. My righteousness remains forever. You begin to mutter it to yourself daily. Then after you finish that process, you begin to feel the joy. You begin to rejoice inside that in your room. But I thank you, Lord. You begin to dance inside your room without revelation. This is how it is, though. This is the practicality of it. So eat it. Begin to eat it. Meditate on it. It says day and night. In fact, I will show you some interesting things today. Very, very interesting. You know, so that word that you made is the rain. You know what happened to them in the book of Genesis? When it says, the rain, the heavens were opened. That has happened. You've seen the word already. And the rain was falling down. So as you're meditating on it, that's the rain. The word of God is the rain, Abby. So the rain is coming upon your heart. Isaiah 45:8, we saw it there. That God speaks for it and the rain comes. So the word you are putting it on your lips and you are speaking it. And the rain is dropping on your heart. Dropping on your heart. If you do it continuously. Flood. When the rain was dropping for 40 days and 40 nights, there was a flood, an explosion. That's what happens. When it says, let the rain righteousness from above, it is that thing. Because that word of God, it comes now to give you God's thoughts, God's feelings. You begin to feel that joy, and it propels you to act. That's how you enter the river of God. That's how you get filled. It says, Proverbs 18:20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. It says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Match it together. See, a man's belly, Proverbs 18:20, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So the river that Jesus is talking about, it says, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's a product of the word that he has put inside. See that thing. Say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. After you have filled it with the words of your mouth, with God's word on your lips, that thing becomes so full that it becomes a river and it flows out of you. That's how living water flows out, in practical terms. So the rain was falling. As you meditated on it, it was entering your heart. It became so full that it began to overflow and began to cause a flood, that living water, and it begins to flow. And what happens is, when that stage is reached, Every day, when you sit down with prayer, take time out to meditate on the word as you pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't just pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Holy Ghost, fine, but you have to take time. Maybe at the end of your prayer session, before your prayer session, take the scriptures God has given you regarding what you are praying. So you have to have projects. We'll talk about this next time. Specific projects. We're not playing around. Just say, if you say unto this mountain. So take time out to meditate on that word. You pray in the Holy Ghost. When you have finished meditating, you go then go back again to mortar it. It's a practice that you must do for growth and for manifestation. It's a practice that you must do. Exodus 13. We'll see now. I want to show you something very interesting. So it's simple. Just stay with it. Sit down with it. Put it before your eyes. In fact, I'm going to write my own scriptures based on the scriptures. I saw something in the Bible. I told my daughter yesterday, say, come, you have golden pen, Abby. You have silver, and you have colored pens. I got cardboard, white cardboard. So you write this thing for me. Exodus 13. We'll just go through now. We'll see. We'll continue next week, next time. But Exodus 13, verse 10. Exodus 13, 10. It says, this is where your victory is, though. This is where. It says, thou therefore, because the word of God has the ability to fulfill, it's a self word. You don't need, it doesn't need your effort. So want to get it into that place. Satan will do everything to distract you on the earth from that process of meditation. He's happy with you quoting scriptures in the air, but doesn't want you to incorporate that thing into your heart. Let this thing sink down on the inside of you. It says there, it says 10, it says, thou therefore shall keep this ordinance in his season from year to year, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto thy fathers, that he shall give thee. See, and thou shalt set apart the Lord, okay, thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that opens the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast, this which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. Verse 14, it says, and it shall come to pass, when thy son asks thee in the time to come, saying, what is this that thou shalt say unto him, by the strength of the Lord he brought us out of the land of Egypt. And it says, it says, verse 16, and it shall be for a token upon thee, upon thine hand, and for frontless between thine eyes. For by the strength of the hand of the Lord, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt. Go to the book of Deuteronomy 11:11. So you need to see this quickly before we round up. 11:11. You see, this is what I show you, is how to drink water of the rain of heaven. And this is how you do it. Pray to the Lord. Opens your eyes. The Spirit of God comes. He opens your eyes. Because the Spirit of God always comes to give you words. Always comes to unveil scriptures. Always comes to unveil the mind of God regarding any matter. So have you ever tried to say, God, what is your mind regarding this situation that has been plaguing me all along? Have you asked him directly? Say, okay, no, show me what your mind is. I'm not trying to imagine anything again. Okay, stop. Show me what your mind is regarding this thing. Really, and you answer speedily. You answer speedily. So once you see that mind, you have the pounds, then begin to convert it. 11:11. It says, but the land where you go to possess, the land of hills and valleys, Deuteronomy 11:11, and drinks water of the rain of heaven. That's what we're teaching you how to do. So we're going to teach you how to drink water of the rain of heaven constantly until you experience a flood. You need to do this in your closet before you know what it, I'm sure you have practiced. You will start feeling that thing on the inside of you. A land which the Lord, the God careth for, the eyes of the Lord are upon it day and night. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, and which I command you this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, and will give you the rain of your land in due season, and thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. He now said in verse 17, say, and when the Lord, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield no fruit, unless ye perish quickly from the way. And now say 18, I want you to focus on 18. Say, then shall ye lay up these words in thine heart and in your soul. Bind them for a signpost on your hand, that they may be frontlets between your eyes. There's something called, it's the process that used to use it. This thing, I went to research it. They used to put a box called, I'll show it to you. They used to put a box on their hands. It's called a phylactery. They put it on their hand, they write certain scriptures. They put it on their hand. They write certain scriptures from the scroll. They put it on there. It's a box, so it contains the scriptures. They put it on their forehead, like that, on their hand. The God was saying, look, And he said the reason why they did that was so that, look what he says, that the words may be in your heart and in your soul. What happened was they wrote it there. They didn't do it. After some time, they began to, the Pharisees, they began to use it as a mark of a display of knowledge. The bigger it is, the more scriptures I know. That's what's happening. He showed me clearly. He said, after it became a fashion statement, I can quote many scriptures. But they didn't put it, the essence of it was to put it in their minds and in their souls. The word of God is meant to be practiced. The word is now you in your mouth and that you might do it. And the way you do it is taking through the process of getting it in your heart and in your soul, not to discuss scriptures, which is important, but that is not the ultimate result, ultimate end. Doesn't matter the amount of scripture. One man's scripture can know one scripture and he gets it into his soul and it causes a transformation on the earth. One. Say, send the word into Jacob and enlightened. Into Israel, enlightened. One word. One. Abraham, one. It exploded. It's not the amount of scripture. It's what gets into your heart and into your soul. That's what causes the difference. That's what is the difference. If it's one. He says, so he decided to make, after some time, as in history, they started to display. In fact, they started to use it to chase evil spirits as charms. He said their heart had departed from the Lord. The essence of the word is not to display knowledge. The phylacteries is not to display. It's to get it into their heart. It was to remind them. So they open, they will go. They look at it again. But it is as they're walking. Let's go on. It says that it may be frontless between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children. Of them you see in your house. That's how you meditate. Then when you walk by the way, when you're walking, I was coming from the gate a few days ago. I just opened the back gate. Coming out, I just started my meditation. And someone from church was driving by. I say, please just say, Pastor, what's this? Ah, I say, because I'd already focused my mind. I say, I want to start meditating now as I'm walking to the walk. That's what it takes. It says, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon thy gates. That's what it takes. I've written my own. I'm pasting it there. When you wake up, you look at it. You see it. You mutter it to yourself. You're going to walk. You're muttering to yourself. You're sleeping. You're muttering to yourself. You mutter it until it enters into you. You want to say, today this scripture is fulfilled in my hearing without any external manifestation. You want to become one with that word. That's what I say. That's what it takes. That's what it says here. So you do that, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land the Lord of God swore to give to you. If you diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you this day, that's how you do it. That's how you keep the commandment of God. David said, "I word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you." That's how it is. And that's what we have to do with the word of God. Put it before your eyes. You have a problem with a habit. Says those that are Christ have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, and its affections and its lusts. He shut it. Says those that are Christ have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature. You meditate on it. It's a painful process. Your flesh wants to get up. I want to run around. You say no. You do it in the morning. Then you're walking to work. You do it. Those scriptures, you write on a sheet of paper, you take it with you. When you are free, you observe the watches. You meditate on it there. Times, set times, you are feeding, you are eating something. And that's what causes, after some time, say rain 40 days and 40 nights constantly, the flood broke out. They began to rejoice in the word as though they had it already. So it didn't really matter if there was any manifestation on the outside. They were so full of that joy. And when the river begins to flow, nothing can stop it. It breaks through. So the river flowed. It lifted the ark above every hill. Every flesh died. And Noah was preserved. This is the process of when you take the word of God. The promises you have been accumulating over the years. sit with the word and begin to meditate on it. Say it to yourself over and over and over and over again. Feed that spirit man. As you do that, the Holy Ghost, as you behold it, the Holy Ghost is writing, imprinting it into your inner consciousness. That's the way you destroy habits. That's the way you destroy hereditary traits. That's the way you destroy incurable diseases. By this process of meditation, you sit down there with the Holy Spirit. Then after some time, you begin to see pictures. You begin to have understanding. You'll be transformed. Do that for a month. Do that for 40. Do it. It's the doing. People will come and say, you have changed. I've written my own. My own is 1 Corinthians 13. I told my daughter to write it for me. That's what I want to start with, because I know love is the greatest. It is on my wall. When I wake up, I see it. I mutter it. Until it gets into my consciousness and begins to dominate and regulate the affairs of my life. Next, we'll continue about how to actually, we're going to call it goal-driven, specific, the ways to set a goal and use the word to actualize that thing in God. Father, I give you thanks. Thank you, Jesus.